Hey everybody, this is the Trucking Monkey and
Old Man Safety.
Today we're going to be discussing basically the hazards of parking in truck stops.
And maybe some ways to avoid backing into your fellow trucker next to you.
Or going around the corner and accidentally taking off a hood or two. Not naming names or whatnot, but I've seen quite a few company drivers do that one. So,
I think I've come close. Actually, I've had one or two back into me while I've been at a truck stop or in a shipping dock.
I've had that happen when being in a dock door and relaxing in the back of the cab, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, and you feel the whole truck just move, and you look out, it's kind of like, why is there a trailer going into the side of my truck?
My biggest, the time I had it happen was I was backed into a dock. I went in to go use the restroom. When I came out, there was another truck backing up, and then I saw my whole tractor wiggle and just kind of hung my head and shook it and kind of like, dang it, now I got to do an accident report and call the company and had to get a new mirror because the other driver was nice enough to take the mirror off. So, yeah, that sucks.
So, aside from that, we're going to talk about truck stops and the pains of trying to find a parking spot and the dangers of being in your own truck, in your own spot, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night or during the day, you wind up having someone else's truck or trailer when it's stuck into yours. So, the biggest thing that I would say for safety wise is if you're going to park on the end of the row, make sure you're in your lines.
Yeah, that would probably be a good thing to do. Actually, do that no matter what spot you take. Make sure you're within your lines. It's not that difficult to do. But I take that back. At nighttime, when you're tired, and yeah, you're looking for the quickest way to park that rig and shut it off. So, been there, done that. I know the hassles.
Well, not only that, when you're, after you get done driving for the whole day, you don't want to sit there and scrub off your mirror on trying to see where you're backing up into. You're going off of, is that place dark enough? Can I actually fit it all the way in there?
Okay, well, here's a really good safety tip. And for those of you who do not know me, and I this is my first episode with the Trucking Monkey. I have driven for national carriers. I also drove local in Chicago for a large company and made it into their safety office. So part of my deal was teaching people how to back up trucks, like in our drop yards and truck stops and other places that are tight, making tight turns and a few other odds and ends. But the biggest thing that I always find, and this is probably the easiest way not to back into anything, is to get your butt out of the driver's seat. I know it's hard to do at night and you're tired, but get out of the driver's seat. Don't just stand there and wiggle at your waist and look back in the hole and say, oh, well, I think I can. Go walk the spot you're going to back into, all the way down along the side of the trailers. Cannot tell you how many times I've watched truck drivers on their road test back into the trailer next to them because they just didn't get out and look. They didn't even know what, the two trailers on either side were not parked, perfectly straight. So one is at an angle, the other one isn't. How do you line up off of that? So get out, go walk the length of the spot you're going to back into.
And a good acronym, and a lot of companies use this, and a lot of you may not know this, is GO, get out and look. They actually made a little acronym just to remind you to get out and look. GO.
Okay.
What's the goal? Get out and look and make sure you don't break something.
That's off it. Your butt.
The other challenges went out with backing up and finding a place to park in a truck stop would be when you're going around, whether it's day or night, and making sure that you pay attention to two things. One, pay attention to people that are walking around, Why not? I can't tell you enough as how I've nearly gotten ran over by other drivers. And yeah. The other thing is, when you're looking for parking spaces, acknowledge the fact that no, the drivers on either side of that line might be too close to the line or over the line.
Yeah.
So that when
yeah.
you back up, and you may start out normal, but by the time you get all the way in, you're taking out their trailer or it's taking out yours. And remember, if it looks empty, it might be taken up by a bobtail, and that's so annoying.
True.
But, so.
If it was up to me, I'd say the truck stop should have, like, bobtail parking. You know, just a small section over off to the side and get them away from the tractor-trailer combos, so.
Well, the newer truck, the nowadays, whatnot, they have those sections, but they're okay. all taken up when I buy Hot Shots or RVs or these little box trucks, one with a small sleeper on it.
Okay, yeah, right. I know what you're talking about.
So they'll take all those spaces up, and then when you actually need a spot as a bobtail, which if you guys don't know what a bobtail is just the semi truck itself with no trailer. Tractor, no trailer. Yes, but and when you need to find a spot, they'll some people will just back their rig all the way in, or they'll nose right into a spot. So like I said, I've had so many times where it's like going around and around and around.
And again, that's part of just get out of the truck and look at what you're going to back into first.
Yeah.
That's why they came up with the acronym GOLD. GOLD. So. But yeah, it is frustrating to, especially if you get there like around 6 or 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to find a parking spot.
No,
doesn't matter how big the truck stop is, they're always full at that time.
No, then you gotta get creative and find a spot big enough where you won't get hit in the morning and you can park your truck. Now,
yeah, but they get mad, other drivers get mad when you block the fuel island doing that.
I was gonna say, to emphasize on this, the fuel islands are not parking spots, nor are they the temporary parking so you can go take a shower.
Or other, well, depends on how bad you need the other facilities in the building, but yeah, try to keep it to a minimum. Don't park the truck and then disappear for dinner.
I've seen that happen when another driver, the driver behind the one that comes up and rips off the seals on the trailer or that, just because they're pissed off. And that right there is kind of, you're not going to get it right away, but when you get to your shipper or receiver or whatnot, you're screwed.
Yeah, especially nowadays, and with all these high dollar loads and just-in-time delivery and things like that. Of course, then again, that also goes along with your pre-trip that you're supposed to do before you get on the road after every time you stop. You're supposed to take that quick little walk around the rig.
And it does help when I've spotted so many things wrong on that from that little walk around.
It's kind of like the same thing of verifying your kingpin before you roll out because, yeah, other drivers who have an axe to grind against the company you drive for may decide to be a jerk, pull that release, and dropping your trailer on the ground.
When I was teaching the drivers, the people how to drive a truck, whatnot, that was one of the things when we got up in the morning, I would turn around and pull as the fifth wheel. Whatnot. I wouldn't pull the airlines or anything like that, but I always had a spare set just in case they really break crap.
Did you do that to teach the students a lesson?
Yes, why not? Check your rig.
Even though
you get up, you parked it in a good spot and everything like that, you're out in the back, you're 40, doesn't mean anything, why not? Some random person can come up and pull your fifth wheel or pull your lines or switch your lines.
Now, one of the things that I have seen lately, not necessarily in truck stops, but it... places where there's overnight truck parking, is I'll see the driver drop his landing gear, pull the pin, and just roll out maybe a foot or two.
Yeah.
From the trailer, still got his brake lines and everything hooked up, but this way he knows he's got to back under it, latch it, and then he knows for certain that he's locked before he rolls.
If he remembers.
Well, again, if he's doing his job properly,
yep.
Does the walk around, he's going to realize that gap between the tractor and trailer looks an awfully big right there. It's you might want to back up and try it again there, driver.
But and then the other hazardous one with truck stops that you have along with parking is when you're at the fuel island, pay a bit of attention, because you'll get drivers that will park in the most random spots near the fuel island. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen drivers that'll park right right next and at most truck stops you'll have the Catskill right next to the fuel island.
It's fairly close.
Yeah, fairly close. But if you don't know what a Catskill is basically where semi trucks or anyone that needs to understand what your
I think it stands for certified automatic truck scale or something like that. I forget exactly what it stands for, but...
anyone that needs a scale done of finding out how much you weigh, you just go there, you pay the... I think it's up to $12-$13 now for your first weigh. Why not?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, because last time I checked...
It hasn't really gone up that much since I drove. And of course, that was around 98-99 area.
It was what, $9 back then?
It was $10 for your first weigh, and then it's up to $5 for every other weigh if you have to keep going back and doing it over again.
I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, it was about $10.50 for your first weigh, and $3 or $4 went out for your second weigh.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So
that really hasn't changed.
Now it's almost $6 for a reweigh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Almost $6 for a reweigh, whatnot, and almost almost $13-$14 for a first weigh.
Inflation.
Yeah. when you're around that point, you have to look out for drivers that will randomly park right next, in between the fuel island and the scale, they'll park there, and then you'll randomly, which is usually used for a bypass lane, from what I've seen, as a bypass lane, so you can just go around and around and around kind of thing.
Right.
So, if you go to the pilot, off of 390 and, I think 390 and Bussy, or Bus or something like that, Bus Road or something like, Bussy Road or something like that.
I'm not familiar with that one.
They've been doing a lot of work out towards O'Hare. They've been slowly progressing 390 all the way into O'Hare.
Yeah, that part I do know. That's the Elgin O'Hare Expressway.
Yeah, but there's a pilot there that they built within the last couple of years and that thing's so small that if you don't park in the wrong spot, you screw everything up.
You sure you're not talking about the new one off of what is it, North Avenue and 294?
No, that was that also is a pilot, but a different one.
Okay.
But
that I mean, that right there was good thinking on somebody's part. Cause,
oh, yeah.
I remember going to those warehouses up in that neck of the woods, and it used to always, be tight parking and have drivers sitting on the side of the road, which was a two-lane road and didn't have a whole lot of space anyway.
Yeah.
Good thinking on somebody's part.
The only other thing I would have to say about the hazards of parking at truck stops, would be in some states you'll find them, but lot lizards.
Yeah,
that's a hazard. Believe it or not, that is a hazard.
Well, in more ways than one, yes. One of the things that I've been told as a way to kind of get them to not bother you so much, and this might work if you're married, is to find a way to display an old bra or something like that up in the windshield or whatever, so that they get the hint that maybe it's a female in the truck and not necessarily a guy, and maybe they'll leave you alone and let you get some quality sleep rather than going, you need a date, honey? No. No, thank you. Keep walking.
Well, there was one truck stop out in North Carolina that I think then me and the wife were sitting there just wasting time till we had to go to a slaughter plant, and we're just sitting there just relaxing, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, and I hear a knock. She answers when I. They're like, "No, never mind, thank you." And I wait 20 minutes later. We hear another knock. She answers again. But this went on for like an hour, an hour or so of about like 5 or 6 knocks. It's kind of like, really? Or even better, when I driving through one of the military posts at like 2 a.m. when I you look on every single corner, you see the same same outfit on every single female going down for like almost a mile stretch when I going through the middle of the base. It's like, really? That's weird, but cool. So, but yeah.
Yeah, just simple things that, you know, every truck driver is supposed to do. But I know that when you're tired, you've been on the road for the last 3-4 hours, you've put a couple hundred miles under your belt. Getting out of the truck, looking around, you know, and don't be afraid to ask another driver for help.
Oh, yeah.
There's no shame in that. Just, you know, have somebody watch your blind side, if nothing else, especially if you're trying to do a blind side back.
Oh, yeah.
Get one or two people out there. See it. Get the truckers on either side of you if they're awake to assist you, yeah. So you don't beat up their rigs.
Actually, I got a good story on that one.
What's that?
The blind siding, whatnot, and make sure you're okay. What? Yeah. I think I just started my first lease on with one of the companies I was with, and I was in Aiken, Ohio.
Sure, it's not Akron.
Or Akron, whatever. I can't say it right. I never can say those words.
It's Akron.
Oh, whatever.
You were the truck driver that was out there for years.
Yeah, okay. But I can never say half the names right.
Oh, okay.
You look at the name on that, and then you think, but anyways, I'll get off track. Anyways,
yes, you are.
So, I couldn't get into the TA there on that, so I went over next door to the Loves, or Pilot, one of the two. The next one over, and they have angled parking. On that. Instead of the straight parking, they have angled parking.
Sometimes I think that can be a bigger hassle than just straight parking.
But here's the funny thing is that I went down the wrong way down the angled parking thinking, oh, I don't really want the blindside it because everything's set up for a blindside. So I was like, okay, we'll do it the other way. Why not? My genius, me being a genius, I tried to back in the right way. I forgot that I didn't realize there was a Stevens transportation truck right next to right there.
Right.
I backed the trailer into his truck.
Oops.
But I was lucky. Why not? Well, I say lucky whatnot, but we were both having a laugh at it. That the only damage I did was to the hubcap or the axle hub.
Okay.
The cap that goes onto it.
Yeah.
Whatnot that you have to check to make sure that the fluid in there is right.
Your bearing cap.
Yeah. So I broke that off. Whatnot.
Okay.
But he's sitting there scratching his head. He's like, "Well, I really don't want to call safety again. Whatnot. I think that after this one, I think I would get in too much trouble." Like, okay, well, how much can this be? Right. He's like, well, let's go over to the TA, find out everything there. It was like $300 on it, so I gave him $300.
$300?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
For a little rubber cap.
No, it's not the cap. The whole thing. All right. So the thing that bolts onto it.
Yeah.
So that plastic, the whole thing got destroyed.
Oh.
I destroyed the whole thing. All right. Like half of it was gone, oil's all over the place.
Oh, you completely destroyed the entire reservoir.
Oh yeah, I destroyed the whole thing.
Oh, see, perfect example of not paying attention. All right,
and I did not get out and look.
See, if you had gotten your butt out the truck
and looked, I would have been in a better place. Whatnot. So that was like $300, and that was like right after payday. So
yeah, kiss that paycheck goodbye.
Oh yeah, the wife was not happy on that one.
Imagine she wasn't.
But
of course, at the time, that's one of the main reasons I got out, came off the road, is because back in the day at 22 cents a mile, I was not making enough money to support a family and a house and everything else that goes with it. You know, and then to live on the road too, which at the time was like about $100, maybe $120 a week, just for me to survive on the road. You know, it's eating, unless I happen to get to like a Nabisco warehouse or something like that.
Yeah.
I go and ask where the vending machines are at, and the guy says we don't have any, and points to a cart full of Overrun. And so I walked out with, you know, like a couple of boxes of Golden Grahams, graham crackers, and a bunch of chocolate chip cookies, maybe some iced oatmeal cookies, and
a
few other good things. Made for great snacking while I was on the road, though. Did make it so I didn't have to spend as much money on while I had that food. He just told me to grab a box and fill it up, and away I went.
I remember the having those when that, not really of going and asking the warehouse guy, but always having a rejected product. For some reason or another, they're like, oh, the box is too damaged, or just, the part of the case is missing, whatever. We can't take any of the boxes inside, and you're left with like, almost a full case of, you know, like, I don't know, what was it, the microwavable pancakes.
Oh, that might have been good.
But that was good one. I did that. It's just I couldn't fit the entire case on it in my mini freezer. Whatsoever. I couldn't do that.
No, the best set they had at that Nabisco plant was just a soda machine or someplace, you know, something to get drinks out of. But any food, you know, basically it was all Nabisco product that they had, you know, just sitting on a cart.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's all we got for the hazards of parking at truck stops. Or do you got anything else to add to that?
No, just, like we said before, don't be afraid to get out and ask the driver next to you if he's awake to help you back up, because God knows you're saving his truck too.
And don't get upset or offended if he comes across as extremely grumpy, pissy, or plain rude, because yes, you might have woken them up. And with some of these newer drivers, no, they just don't really care about much of anything other than what's in front of them. That's it.
Correct.
So some of them will be extremely rude, even though you're trying to be nice. Don't take it the wrong way.
Yeah, sometimes you got to have a thick skin when you're dealing with the other drivers, especially if you're waking them up while they're on their downtime. But again, it's a lot. It may be better to leave that driver a little grumpy than to have your company paying his company for a hood or a bumper or mirrors or whatever.
Or like in my case, one that almost the entire side of my truck.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That was a nice 4-day layover at the main terminal.
Yeah, because when you start looking at it, you're not only losing, the company isn't only losing money, you're losing money for sitting still. You're not getting paid while you're just waiting for your truck to be repaired. And if you're a lease operator or owner operator, you're just flat out all of that money.
Oh, yeah.
Repairs and everything.
Yeah.
So, don't be afraid to ask.
Don't be afraid when to try to think ahead and be able to prevent damage from with your equipment and the equipment of those around you.
If you're a new driver, you find an empty parking lot, go ahead and practice backing. I mean, as long as you're not damaging anything, find an empty dock door to try backing into just for practice. Never hurts.
And one of the things that I've noticed is your setup. When you go to set up to do the backing, that's the most important thing.
Yes.
Right.
And sometimes red Solo cups are your best friend for this.
They really are. All right.
This is a thing that I was taught, and something that I had taught other drivers when they were doing their backups, and they'd run into the trailers, and I'd look at them and say, take a cup or a rock or something you can identify and use that, set it up about maybe 10, 12 feet in front of the vehicle next to you. and then use that as your pivot point for your trailer tandems. If you do that, I can almost guarantee you probably won't hit the truck next to you.
See, I never was taught that point. When I was taught that you go, line up your driver's door with your for the spot that you're going to go to.
Right.
Then you drive forward two spots, and then you turn the wheel as hard as you can, till you're facing straight, along with the other others. Then turn really hard on it to go the other way.
Right.
And by the time you get that done, you're basically angled in perfectly to go into it.
Yes,
almost, but not quite.
But again, we're talking truck stops. We're talking other drivers who are tired who got there ahead of you.
Yeah.
And did not park straight.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes you got to use these little tricks to help navigate. And again, if you can avoid a blindside back, by all means, avoid it.
Oh yeah.
Even if you got to kind of go almost the wrong way.
I've done that when I
go. I've done it a lot too. Go the wrong way intentionally just so you can get into the spot, with a driver's side back. So, but yeah, if you have to, put something to mark your pivot point for your trailer tandems. About 10, 12 feet out from the front of the vehicle that you're next to on your driver's side. You should be able to pop it in without too much trouble. But other than that, that's the best advice I can give any new drivers. Just get out, look, go walk to the back of the spot where you're backing into, because there may be pallets other debris back there that you're not aware of. And now that we're in the days of super singles, if you get a flat tire, you're not leaving that spot until that tire gets fixed.
Oh, yeah.
So, and if the tire repair company's out there blocking up the trucks on either side of you, they ain't going to be too happy with you either.
Oh, no, that's always frustrating.
You might know more about that being a tow truck man than
since I've been towing for the last couple of years, I definitely understand that, and that is so annoying, being out there doing what you need to do, and then all of a sudden you got these angry drivers just kind of like, I know you're on a clock or whatnot, but I got to get this done safely.
Right, So yeah, there's a layer of safety to everything that gets done.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's driving, towing, repairing, whatever. There are layers of safety that need to be respected and observed, for everyone to be safe and be able to go home at the end of the run and go kiss the wife and the kids and, have a good time off without any stress of wondering, am I going to get in trouble? What's happening with this? What's happening with that?
Yeah.
Just, sometimes you just got to respect the layers of safety that have been put in place. Don't ignore them. That's taking unnecessary risk.
All right. Well, I think we're done, done here when I'm talking about, about all this, right? So I want to what should we talk about next?
I'm not 100% certain.
Unless you guys have any better ideas, why not? I think next we'll talk about one thing that a lot of people lately have been talking about was the truck driver that got 110-year. Sentencing, and then the governor stepped in and got lowered to 10 years. But as to why that is actually a big deal with maintaining safety of your vehicle safety and knowing all the safety aspects of going up and down mountains and everything like that.
Right.
And knowing your own comfort level doing those kinds of things. So,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying I can't do that or I'm not comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
It's when I was in the Army, they used to look at us and up on the wall, I worked with helicopters, and up on the wall it always said, mission first, safety always.
Yeah.
So that applies to trucking also, I understand you got a run to make, you got to get that done, you got to make the company money, you got to get a paycheck. But nothing is worth risking your life, other lives, equipment, things of that nature. So, yeah, safety first, safety always. You know, have a safe run. If you don't feel comfortable doing something, by all means, let your dispatcher know you're not comfortable with it. Maybe they can get the load assigned to someone else.
Yeah. So, but that's what we're going to talk about next. And unless you guys have anything else, any other better ideas, that's what we'll be discussing next.
True. Yeah. If you have other topics you'd like to have us go over and discuss and maybe look at, by all means, how do they get a hold of us?
Actually, right now, they can leave comments or questions right here on the Anchor website as to where the episodes and everything is.
You may have to give that address out.
It's actually... All right, so you'll be looking up anchor.fm/truckingmonkey. It'll come up with a few other ones. You can find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, places like that. We are currently working on getting onto Windows, Chrome, and Microsoft also, of the expanding the whole thing of being able to listen to us on there. But you can always listen to us easily on Anchor. So if you go on Anchor, you can easily find us on there. So this is the Truckin' Monkey.
And the Old Safety Man.
Saying bye, keep your eyes on the road, and have a good day.